It's Ember Friday of the first week of Lent. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zolsdorf. Today's Roman station is Santi Dodici Apostoli, the Basilica of the Twelve Apostles. This is the station church on all four of the Ember Fridays during the year. The first ancient church was established nearby, closer to the Forum of Trajan. It was built in the mid-4th century under Pope Julius I. It was rebuilt in its present location in the 6th century and was dedicated in 570 to commemorate the defeat of the Goths, not the ones with the black eye makeup. That church, well under street level now, had a raised altar, which is still now below the high altar, and it is there that you find the relics of the apostles Philip and James the Lesser, the son of Alphaeus, who was beaten to death with fuller's clubs. He is depicted with such a club in paintings and statues. The relics were actually lost for a long time and then rediscovered in 1873. The station church has a connection with doing penance. In the older, traditional form of Mass today, we hear a very penitential tone beginning with the introit. Deliver me, O Lord, from my necessities. See my objection and my labor, and forgive me all my sins. In the older form of the office, which priests read each day, we hear today part of a sermon by St. Augustine, who explains the symbolism of the number 38. Coincidentally, today we are 38 days out from Easter. Angelo Scola is the titular cardinal of this basilica. Also, the tomb of Pope Clement XIV, Papa Ganganelli, is found here. His monument was carved by Canova. He was, of course, the pope who suppressed the Jesuits in 1773. From The Heresy of Formlessness, the Roman Liturgy and Its Enemy, by Martin Mosebach. Sitting is a genuine invention on the part of the liturgical innovators. No one sat in the ancient church. If you enter a Roman basilica or a Byzantine church, you will see immediately that there are no seats or pews in them, except where in Rome they have been introduced subsequently. Even the floors, often richly encrusted with precious stones, show that they were not made to be covered up by chairs. In the Byzantine church, those who are frail can lean on small frames arranged by the wall. In the Coptic church, some people are provided with T-shaped sticks to put under their arms, but apart from these aids, people stand through the entire ceremony, which lasts for several hours. Standing is interrupted only by the many deep bows they make, touching a hand to the ground, and the proskynesis, in which they kneel down and touch their foreheads to the ground. Kneeling in the Christian liturgy has two roots, which can be traced back to a single root. The first is the New Testament, where we read, "And he fell down and worshipped him." This expression is not restricted to St. John's account of the healing of the blind man. It occurs again and again whenever someone suddenly realizes the divinity of Jesus. This New Testament kneeling is utterly unliturgical. It occurs when someone is momentarily overwhelmed, and it is the response to a gracious epiphany. In the New Testament, one has the impression that the person is thrown to his knees by a lightning flash of insight. At this moment, on his knees, he sees more than those standing around him, and he can find no better word in response to what he sees than the word credo. How does this involuntary, utterly personal kneeling, the work of a moment, find its way into the framework of a suprapersonal and supratemporal liturgy? To be continued. The Collect from the Extraordinary Form. Oremus. Esto, Domine, propitius plebi tue, et quam tibi facis esse devotam, benigno refove miseratus auxilio. Let us pray. Be merciful to your people, O Lord, and as you give them the grace to serve you, make them new by your loving help. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.